Well, not to rub salt in the wounds, but it looks like Mike and Kenny were right again. Mishkov is already in the league a year later, and he scored 2 goals last night. It's all right. I'll keep waiting for 2028 when the Wings prospects are up. Kenny, it is frustrating.
It's pain, Mike.
Remember all the Wings fans calling in, he may never come over to the States. He's here a year later.
I'm not sure he would have ever come to Detroit. Russian players are very weird in that. I don't know how many teams were on his I'm not going to play there list.
Maybe Detroit was there. Kenny says Russians are weird.
The way they behave in the league is a very specific way.
Kenny refers to Russians as those people.
No, anything else? I'm saying.
Anything else, Kenneth?
They're strong-willed men, all right? They will... No, they will go back to Russia. They don't care.
Let's just move on. So
next he's going to say build a wall.
Oh! Wow. Every show!
All right, now... Let's focus. College football. There's a question on this show sheet, and I'm going to try to be as fair as possible. But after both Michigan and Michigan State were on bye week, it's a simple question that has very complicated answers, and it goes for both teams. And it's not even what would success look like. Is success even on the table for either of these dreadful football teams, Michigan and Michigan State? I'm convinced no fan is having any fun watching either of them. So the question is a little bit, what would success look like at the end of the year? But it's partially, does success even exist? Is success on the table?
I like that.
Now, that depends on who you are, right? Now, I told you before the season, you want success for State, no smart. 7 wins. I can't help that they dumped the BC game, and BC's awful. They are. And now it's Iowa, it's Michigan, it's Illinois, it's Purdue, it's Indiana, it's I don't know who else. Who cares? The point is, I don't know. Can they get to 7? I mean, it would have to be 7-5 and a win over Michigan. That's what I would need to feel successful. But if you're a Michigan fan, like the morning show was talking about it, I thought Gov actually sounded good from the Tecumseh area, where Gov was saying, like, this is a crossroads game for Michigan.
Illinois game? Yeah.
If they lose to Illinois, I'm not breaking news. But in the world we live in, the minute you lose your third game, how do I know my best players don't just say, peace?
It's Michigan, Mike.
Oh, my bad. It's a cabal.
That's Michigan.
But if they lose to Illinois, it means you're totally capable of losing to Indiana. You're absolutely losing to Oregon. You're absolutely losing to Ohio State. I haven't arrived at a place where I think you're losing to MSU. The point is, you'd be in line for 5 losses, maybe 6. That's a disaster. That's arguably the biggest fall from grace for a national champion in the last 70 years.
You can't say, here's what the other thing that you would see if you lose this game to Illinois, it's the team not believing in themselves. And we kind of saw this in baseball with the Twins, where all of a sudden things just weren't going their way. And any and everything that could possibly happen to them would just start happening to them. And they just not quitting, but man, it's just like, I don't know if we're going to win this week. So yeah, this game, Illinois, it is crossroads, because if you lose, now you're staring at, man, are we going to go 7-5, 6-6? What's that State game going to be like? And I think, yeah, the biggest thing is, at what point do your NFL first rounders just kind of tap out and say, I'll see you guys at the alumni banquet?
Look, you said it before the show, so this is Rico reporting. I just happen to agree with it. Will Johnson needs to play, because Will Johnson's costing himself money.
Yeah.
Sorry. Not sorry. Like, Will Johnson needs to play. But like Mason Graham? Colston Loveland? I do wonder. I hate saying it because that's the age we're in. Hell, MSU might have players decide to leave. We don't have anybody any good.
Who? The punter?
Yes.
His leg's tired?
Yes. Maybe our team strength and conditioning coach, since everyone's getting hurt.
Jonathan Kim, I'm sick of kicking field goals.
I've had enough. But I would love to know. And look, this is why it's telling, Rico. Yeah. These two teams have killed their fan bases. Killed.
I have. It's why going back to, I think it was after the BC game, and you're like, you're writing this team off. I'm like, Mike, look at that schedule. Their next win could end up being Purdue on November 22nd. And, you're like, you were beaten. I'm like, I'm not beaten, man. It's just kind of reality kicking in. Like, man, you know, BC, Ohio State, Oregon, Iowa, Michigan, Indiana. That's a gauntlet. If you're Michigan State, if you get three wins and you make it to a bowl game, you've cleared the bar. Seven wins, and I think you have success. Six wins, bowl game, cleared the bar. You get to kind of develop some players. They could buy in and say, okay, coach, I see what we're trying to do here. If you could get Aiden Childs to, less turnovers and more scoring in the red zone, yeah. For Michigan, it really is going to boil down to, and David, I'll leave this up to you because this is your team. At what point? Because I think Michigan State is playing for next season already when they started. At what point do you start playing for next year? That's success. Like, if you win these games and you're still playing for a playoff spot, because I think that's success for you. Can you sneak and win one of these games? Can you get Oregon at the Big House? That's success for you. That's what I deem successful Michigan is, a win over Oregon at the Big House. If not, you got to start looking at next year.
I think success also would include beating Michigan State. You cannot lose to Michigan State.
Why? We're not your rival. That's what I'm told.
I can't believe you said that with a straight face.
Because you can't then beat Oregon, but you lost to Michigan. You can't. You got to beat both of them. Back-to-back weeks, you got to beat Michigan State and you got to beat Oregon. That would be success to me.
Can I help you?
Sure.
You're not beating Oregon.
I believe that. I do believe that.
Okay.
But
just trying to help you.
That would,
unless Oregon's entire team has a case of the poops and they're starting literal ducks on the field.
But
you're not beating Oregon.
And I hear you, but you do have to also admit that if they do, it is successful.
David, once again, aggressive. Aggressive. It won't stop.
On the airplane. In the bed, in training table, on the field, mid-play. There's no scenario.
I'm laughing unless they're starting literal ducks.
Right. Duck, off motorcycle, playing right guard. Dude, you need to chill.
2485. 2485-399-9797.
People, is college football this dead in this state? Are you kidding me? Kenny could talk sexual exploits, we'd have full lines. What are we doing here? It is foliage season. It's October. Football. It is the first time we can talk Michigan to Michigan State here. Guys, you okay out there? Or is your apathy a sign that success is not on the menu? That there is nothing your teams will do within reason that will make you remotely happy? I'll tell you this, if State has any pathway to seven wins, they better win Saturday. Don't try to build, not you, I'm saying people, don't try to build Iowa into something I need to care about. They're gross.
Well, ironically enough, Mike, I think two times the program kind of took that step. D'Antonio was a homecoming game. They got the stop. They ended up winning 16-13.
Adam Decker.
Yes.
Sean Green.
Yeah, R.I.P. Adam Decker.
That was awful. Yeah. I couldn't believe when I read that.
Me neither. And then 2013.
Rose Bowl year.
Yes.
Connor Cook at Kinnick.
Everything changed against Iowa.
Remember they ran the fake speed option, and then he stepped back, put his foot in the ground, and threw the bomb, and you're like, where'd that play come from? What is this?
Benny Fowler. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, everything kind of changed. You're hoping that this Iowa game will be the same thing where it will lead to a better future.
Let's check in on Aiden reading the defense. I mean, I want you to be right. Success is seven wins, and show me there's a window to something here. For Michigan, I don't know what success looks like. I would say it would be 8-4, but it's clear no one would be happy with that. It'd be 8-4, and you don't have a quarterback. Reality is it ain't like Tuttle's back next year.
But you mean we're not doing some special show for next week in the parking lot?
No. No.
Do it in the bathroom.
Yeah. Honestly. If we did a preview show for Michigan and Michigan State, it wouldn't be four chairs on stage. There'd be four toilets. All of us sitting on one. I would just love to know. But again, maybe your apathy is the answer.
Yeah.
But see, I do. This is the problem. The problem is also, I was thinking about this weekend. You watch Ohio State and Oregon, and I'm still watching it like it's old school where, wow, this is winner take all, losers in trouble. And then you think about it. Will Howard losing on the football field, it really didn't matter. Ohio State's still going to make the playoff. The game effectively means nothing. I wonder if that's altered how people react to stuff. Is it easier for fans to detach because the wins and losses don't really matter? You can lose two games. You still go exactly where you got to go. I mean, Kenny would have been taking the bridge with Georgia losing a few weeks ago.
I was just saying that to David.
He's calm as a cucumber.
That game now, it's a lot less important.
Kenny, you could lose to Texas. You're still going to the playoff with two losses.
But here's the thing. As I told Kenny yesterday, it means you're packing your stuff and you're going on the road. And you may be playing in someplace cold. You may be playing in front of the whiteout in Happy Valley. He's like, bring on the snow. Careful what you wish for.
I'd love to see it. I would, too. I agree with you. But go ahead, 248-539-9797. What does success look like for Michigan and Michigan State this year? And is it even on the table, or have you checked out? Have you taken your Saturday passions to Sunday, and you just don't bother anymore? Yeah. I don't know.
No, I think, well.
Doesn't help. I mean, one school's playing at night every week. I don't know what the hell the plan is there. It's ridiculous.
Well, yeah. Haller got upset, and there's an article, Angelique wrote an article saying enough's enough.
We did. Really?
Yeah.
Allen, up next, I'm waiting for him to just say CMU is a scumbag university and they're banned.
I thought he said
that. No, not, right. I want him to say that.
Okay.
Jim McElwain is a POS.
They're still investigating this a year later.
Sure, it's going well. Who's doing the investigation, Mr. Bean?
They probably should have got the same people who investigated Shohei, because that was done in 72 hours.
Nope, no gambling here. All right, David, a few ticket texts. We'll go to the people. And we've just tried to touch the table. Everything's been Tigers. Everything's been Lions. Michigan and Michigan State are back at it this week. This is supposed to be the time of year things get fun. The foliage, it's October, tailgating season. I don't know that anyone even wants to watch Michigan or Michigan State, but my question was, what is success, or is success even still available to you, or are you just out?
See, I like the second part of your question, is success still available? And I do think that some people are out for the simple fact, it's not because of the playoff system. I think they're out because you already have multiple losses and you see more losses in your future. That means you have no chance. Yeah, like, Kenny's still involved because he believes Georgia can win the rest of their games. But if Georgia was sitting there with four games they could possibly lose, he wouldn't be as happy right now. And I think that's where a lot of Michigan fans are. Michigan State fans, I think we all knew. Can you at least make a bowl game? Can you be in TJ's new game down in Detroit? They renamed it.
What, the Tobacco Bowl? The drinks too much on weekday bowl.
What is it named? Dip cup bowl.
The floating on pontoon passed out bowl. The my head is getting bigger bowl. The
no
bowl.
It's the It's the game above sports bowl.
Are you serious?
Yeah, game above sports bowl.
I thought that was a joke.
No, that's the new
tremendous. It's sponsor. Sure to be a new classic. 2-4-8-5-3. Let's go to Dave. It's probably safer than continuing down this track. Dave, how you doing, buddy? Welcome.
Hi guys, how you doing?
Good, David. What's up,
Mike? I heard you comment on the fact the call-ins were a little bit light concerning Michigan and Michigan State, but I'm going to be honest. Like, I am so sick, and I'm not a fan of you. I'm more of a fan of State than U of M, but honestly, I'm not. I won't die with either team. But the comparisons to the Big Ten versus the SEC, can you guys please make a statement? It is not even close.
It's not.
Fan base, not even a snippet in terms of if you guys brought this topic up, in Alabama.
Right.
You could not get through for 9 years. And yet I got through in 20 minutes, guys. 20 minutes.
Okay,
Nine years versus 20 minutes.
Dave, in all fairness to the people up here in the state of Michigan, there are no pro sports in Alabama. I get what you're saying,
Hold on, though. It just means more. I thought about that. I thought about that. But in all fairness, I watched this kid from Belleville, this quarterback. He's electric, honestly. Like, I thought, okay, maybe that's a little fluff, reading the paper. I went and watched him play. I thought, wow, this kid's a player. He's going to LSU.
Correct. Bryce Underwood.
LSU. Right. Yeah. U of M. You're the big time number five. You just won the national championships. I'm telling my son, I can't believe I'm watching this. This is the worst team I've ever seen come off of an – it's not even close.
Dave,
so what I'm saying is like
– I agree with everything you're saying.
You can't compare.
Stay with me for this because this is something Dave is highlighting. And I know – see, Kenny's all excited because he's our Paul Finebaum. This new report of the Big Ten and the SEC both flirting with a super league but also talking about a scheduling thing where it'll be like a preseason challenge. Dave, there are two teams in the Big Ten that are remotely decent, two.
Dude,
if the Big Ten plays the SEC in a crossover match, what?
Smoked.
Every time,
you guys know that.
I mean, come on,
we're all fans.
Like, I gotta pray that Michigan State draws Mississippi State. That's my only hope.
Oh, my God. Guys, seriously, guys that are the third cornerback on Mississippi would walk in a state on today and start. It's just the way it is, dude. A special team crew guy that nobody knows would walk in right now in Indiana and be a stud.
And I'll tell you where I'm at. Dave, I want to further your point. And this is just me. I don't feel like Michigan State is even a part of college football right now. I don't feel like we're not included in this. And I lived an entire life where MSU wasn't very good, but they were still in the mix. They were attached, meaning I play in the Big Ten, I have a goal, I'm competing with everybody, I just find terrible ways to lose. This has become something totally different now. Now it's like, well, 38-7 is better than 56-2. I don't even feel like we're a part of this process.
Even in the John L. Lears?
Yeah, because, hey, what about the Northwestern game? It was magical. No, Rico, that game never happened. I understand. I'm just saying, like, look at Saturday night. I was watching a guy that MSU negotiated with and paid in Derek Harmon. And I was watching him play against us. And I don't begrudge Derek and his family situation to take double the money to leave. But I can't take it serious. The passion that Dave was calling in and going, well, you know, down south they would. How can I be passionate? I got invited to the game Saturday by someone you know and you've spent time with. He's a lovely man. And I told him. I go, thanks, but no thanks, man.
Too late for you?
It's just a night game between two teams that play wholly uninteresting football. Neither team has anything real to play for. And I'm going to come home after 1 a.m. For what?
Yeah, I guess because I've always looked at MSU kind of outside 2013 to, well, maybe 2011 to 2015 status. This has pretty much been MSU football where – heck, how long until you start looking forward to March Madness?
And the how difference long do you start is they were able to compete Madness, and I beat mean. Teams. Like, dude, look at the Saban years. As average as they were, we beat teams. We competed. Michigan fans know. And then, yes, John L., things got rough, but I got news for you. We were in double OT against Michigan. We were in OT when John Goss lost his mind and missed a chip shot. Like, dude. No. D'Antonio speaks for himself. Like, it just, you get to a point where you're going, I don't even know. Why am I, like, should I be upset at this or should I just turn the channel?
Yeah, and I guess I'm there if we're doing this next year at this time. It's like, okay, Jonathan Smith, I see what you're trying to do. It was kind of like when D'Antonio got there and Narduzzi had the defense, but his defense was getting beaten all the time. Right. It's like, I don't think this is going to work. And he was like, trust me, it'll work. And then it worked.
But
and
for Michigan fans, I think it's something entirely different.
Yes.
They have a hangover from the euphoria, and it goes two ways. But it's also, I mean, you're hearing it, and it's bizarre. People have already turned on Sherrone Moore. That is bizarre to me. He's barely been here. But Michigan, it's the most hopeless defending national champ I've ever seen. They do not have a quarterback. They do not have skill position players. They don't play entertaining football. They don't look very good. And there's no answers. It's not like you went from J.J. McCarthy to this guy's going to be our QB the next 4 years. You're starting Bob Tuttle. He's 30 and he sells Roth IRAs. How is this possible?
Yeah, Texas is going to lose Quinn Ewers and they're going to go to Arch Manning, who will still give them a chance to win and make the playoff.
But the funny thing is, David, is you used to always have that guy that every Michigan fan wanted to see. When Kay was there, no, let's get JJ in the game. Before Kay, I forgot the guy before Kay, but it was like, let's get Kate in the game.
Well, growing up, Greasy, then you got Henny, then you got,
John Navarre.
Yeah.
You had Chad Henne. Then look, all I'm saying is there's something weird going on, and we've got to figure out what our audience is up to. And look, we'll get back to the phones, but it's just a weird time in this state where I feel like neither fan base gives a rip. Is it a sign of the times? Is it just the year? I don't know.
It's state fans pulling out the bar stool to Michigan fans. Have a seat. Drink your feelings. All right, let's just go straight to the phone lines. Let's hear what the people have to say. What is success for Michigan? What is success for Michigan State? Or, I like how Mike put it, can success even be achieved this season?
Don't care about college football this fall. Who or what is to blame? No, we don't need to just blame NIL or transfer portal. There could be other reasons. For me, I'll tell you one thing. I've had it up to here with night games. Leave the night games for the good teams. Why the hell do I got to see Rudy Pooh MSU Iowa at night? Come on now. Apparently, Alan Aller said something about it. Rico's going to tell us at 4. Go to Andrew, 97.1. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, guys. So, honestly, I'm a little more pessimistic than you guys are. For me, success, especially I'm a State fan, success is just show fight. Like, I'm so sick of the last couple years just them giving up, dying on the field, whatever have you, under Tucker, minus the 1 year. Like, I grew up watching D'Antonio. I was 12 and 10 when they won the Rose Bowl in at CFP. I'm like, I want that to be the realistic goals. I want that to be what they can do. But then I just sit here and I'm like, well, no, that's not.
All right, so I want to say something. Andrew, I want to say something, and I have to do a disclaimer, but stay with me. Rico, this is not about you nor assigning blame. Just work with me. Andrew, here's the problem. You want to know why I don't care much anymore? A, I hate the direction of the sport, but B, MSU's not serious about their business. When I see schools like Missouri taking football more serious than Michigan State, Houston, we have a problem. So part of my issue, Andrew, is I don't think we're being serious. I think we're pretenders. So that makes it hard for me. I don't know if that's where you're at.
Yeah, that's honestly, because I think you agree on what you just said. We want this to be something that we look forward to every
Correct.
Week. And it can make a ton of money for your school, too. It's a business.
It does every year. That's the other thing is, like, you got to, and Rico will speak on this because he knows the inner workings of the athletic department more than me. If football's the thing that keeps the lights on for the entire athletic department at every school.
Yeah.
Unless you're,
right. Duke or something.
Yeah. Like, Andrew, I'm with you. Is the loss of hope. It's also the loss of entertainment. Like, if I'm a Michigan fan, Andrew, I'm just not entertained watching my team.
Yeah.
What's the entertainment factor? Pining for some 26-year-old mortgage broker? Jack Tuttle?
Hey, man, he was in the same class as Aiden Hutchinson. Nice, Sewell.
Right.
Just to put things in perspective.
Aiden's about to sign his second deal in the NFL.
Sewell,
Jack Tuttle still lives in the dorms.
Sewell already has.
So basically, your quarterback is Frank the Tank.
But he's going streaking down at the quad.
Go to Brandon, 97.1. What's up, Brandon?
How you doing, Mike? How you doing, Rico?
Hey, good, Brandon. Sir. What's on your mind?
So I'm a Michigan fan, and for me, success is kind of a two-way thing. I personally do not understand how they're favored this week, number one. But I can only see 2-4, maybe 3-3. Success for me is at some point, Sharon and the offensive coordinator, whoever's in charge over there, have a come to Jesus moment and just, look, we're not winning this year. Let's see what Jaden Davis is. Let's see if he's something to build upon for next year. I mean, you're going to have that four-game window where his red shirt is still valid. See what he is. And maybe if you get lucky and you get to 3-3 mm-hmm. in terms of finishing out the season, you get to 7-5. I don't know what your guys' thoughts are on that, but I'm not over this quarterback group.
I'm not mad at you in the least, because I think you understand whether it's Tuttle or Orgy, it's kind of a road to nowhere.
Well, that's what I said.
I just don't understand how coming into this year, these were your best options. If these are your best options, then go with the kid. Mike, you said it at the beginning of the year. This is kind of a free square for Sharone. Use it as a free square. See what Jaden Davis is. Check out some of the young talent, and then you go from there. The fans would have been understanding. They're more, I think, I speak for a lot of fans, is you're more frustrated that things look this way.
Brandon, I'm going to let you finish, but see, I'm throwing a flag on that, because I don't think Michigan fans would have been understanding. Like, I probably sound like a loser to a lot of people because I didn't put a lot of pressure on Jonathan Smith, because I said, you know what, it's his first year. I don't expect anything. You're Michigan. You expect to win championships, and you expect to just replace this guy with this guy with this guy and keep this thing going. So, you know, for more, he had expectations, but I just think that he kind of squandered them away, and I think a lot of it was because of all the smoke that was going on around the program that nobody wanted to talk about.
Yeah, there's no way fans would just roll over and say, it's okay, they're starting the freshman. No. I get winning a championship and all, but they will look at it and say, but we're not supposed to look this way. I get he's learning, but we're not supposed to look this way.
No, and I get what you're saying, but I think if what you saw in camp is what we're seeing now, this kind of reminds me to why they went and started Chad Henne back in 2004. He really wasn't supposed to start, but he was the best. And I'm not saying Jaden Davis is that, but
you're saying that Jaden Davis represents hope. It represents a future, and you're willing to accept
what you're putting out there.
Right, you're willing to accept failure today for a brighter tomorrow. And look, Brandon, to Rico's point, and he's right. It's why you can tolerate the failures of Aiden Childs now, because you're hoping you're cutting your teeth today to be functional tomorrow. So I understand. Yeah, my problem, Brandon, is I don't hear angry Michigan fans.
Correct.
I don't know that they're awake.
See, but here's the problem. That's not how Michigan operates. The hope doesn't come now with them playing. The hope comes in the offseason. Oh, well, we had a bad year, but we still got Jaden Davis because you didn't see him. So that's going to be your hope in the offseason.
The problem for both of these schools is they are not major players in the NIL space. You're not connected with business.
Well, Michigan says that they're considering having advertising inside the Big House to help for that. And defer costs.
I help you. I mean, really. Hey, it's Michigan football presented by Colin Blow.
No, because
what are we doing?
No, what happens, Mike, is you have some schools who say, you know what, we're going to come up with an NIL program, but then you have other schools that says, break the bank, don't care.
Right.
You got Oregon saying, Phil Knight, I'm about to die, so I'm going to say yes to whatever you ask Granddad. Granddad's going to buy. You want a pony? Fine.
I'll give you an example.
Pony.
Ole Miss. Ole Miss got serious with NIL, and it's not a huge success, but they're in the game. You can at least take it serious and go, look, I have expectations it's playoff or bust. That shouldn't be that way at Ole Miss. They're not Alabama. They're not, hell, man, they're not Arkansas.
And see, I do wonder, Mike, how much of what happened with Tucker has hurt NIL, because I do think that MSU was about to turn the corner with the whole NIL thing. And then that just collapsed, and we all know that story. And I think a lot of your big time donors are doing a wait and see, arms crossed. Like, if this goes well, we'll jump back into the water. But right now, I don't want to throw away money again like I did a few years ago.
248-539-9797. We will get with the people momentarily, and it's a multifaceted college football topic. If you want Lions, we did the first hour. Another Aiden Hutchinson memorial. And just updates on Lions reaching out to a pass rusher. Well, we'll talk about that at 5. Again, Odyssey.com Rewind if you want it now. Tackle the NFL with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook right now. New customers bet $5, get $300 in bonus bets if you win. You can build an SGP for Thursday. That's Rico's department. Rashid Shaheed, he may as well be Jerry Rice at this point for the Saints. Maybe Bo Nix over interceptions. Build it out.
Spencer Rattler.
You want Rattler? Go for it. Why not? He didn't look that terrible. All right, let's touch the table with some football. Hit the music. Yes, David.
No.
Yes, Rico.
Over here. After starting 1-4, can Cincinnati really rebound and make the playoffs?
I'm going to say no. I mean, the division's a little softer since Cleveland is a tire fire. And no diss, David, but I mean, you guys are no good. But man, their defense sucks. I'm going to say no.
Joku can't run to the rescue?
He does everything, man, but they can't protect him. And if he's got to score 30 a week, I'm going to say no.
Yeah, no, not with that start. I'm kind of looking at the AFC here, the rest of it. It's not that strong for wild card teams, but yeah, I just don't think you can recover from 1-4. So, no.
Okay.
I mean, how's the schedule play out? Here you go. I mean, they get the Eagles. They get the Browns this week. Eagles, Raiders, Ravens, Chargers, Steelers. I mean, there is a soft grouping in here, but I'll still say it's too big of a hole to dig out of.
Okay. At 4-2, what are the Pittsburgh Steelers doing? Why are you giving Russell Wilson
proactive, not reactive? If you stay with Fields, you will end up 4-11. I think they have to do that. Rico, it's morbid. They got to do it. So, but let him answer. His team.
So I guess let me add this caveat in, David, before you answer. You make the switch. Can you switch back?
No, because they're making the switch. Well, let me say it this way. They're not making a switch. On the depth chart, Russell Wilson has always been listed as the starter. So what they have required for him to do is show that he's healthy. And that's all they're doing. He showed that he's healthy last week at practice. So he's returning to his starter role. It's a joke, but that's what it is. He is the starter.
Okay. Can Davante Adams save the Jets?
No. Fun story, but no. They have problems everywhere. Honestly, I'll just say no.
I mean, just watching the national media and reading articles, it's like, okay, we got this now. It's like, you're still the Jets.
The problem is Tyron Smith looks completely baked at left tackle. I mean, just getting whipped off the edge. Every time I watch the Jets, Tyron Smith just looks old, man. You can't protect 40-year-old quarterback. I'm going to say no to it, but I also hate the Jets, especially after what they did to me Monday night.
No, he can't. If there's ever an example of selling your soul to the devil, that's what the Jets did by getting Aaron Rodgers in there. Ever since he arrived last year, it has just become worse. And somehow, yeah, the Jets are worse. They're a bad franchise, don't win anything. But no, they can't win. I'm sorry, he can't fix it.
Okay. NFC North, we could all agree, best division in football, correct?
Yes, 100%.
Which division is worse in the NFC? NFC East or NFC West? In the West, there's no team with a winning record. In the East, the only team with a winning record are the Commanders.
I'll say the West just because the Niners are still the West is worse because it's Niners and nothing. I don't buy the other teams. Like, I can buy the Commanders and I can buy the Eagles. I mean, the Giants are poop. I'll say the West is worse.
I'm going to say the East because I can't buy the Eagles. I can't. And if the Commanders are the only thing there, which they might not continue this type of winning, it might be a, what, 9-18, 8-19 that wins the division there? I don't know. So I'll say them.
Okay. I got a couple more questions. I think one is going to lead into the next. You'll see where I'm going with this. But is there anything that can happen? What could you do to fix the Cowboys? Because they paid a lot of money to a lot of players that you just can't say, okay, we're going to release. No, you're stuck with them. Anything can fix this team? Short term, aside from stadium implosion.
I'm going to say no because you're not fixing DeMarcus Lawrence's body. And offensively, they're just so limited. It's the backfield is a nothing burger. The O-line's in tatters. CD and Dak aren't on the same page. No. The work has to be done in the offseason primarily.
See, I was going to say there is a way, but then you say short term. No, short term, they can't be fixed. Long term, sure. Jerry Jones has to stop being the GM. That's the only way to fix this. He has to stop being the GM, and maybe the offseason could look better.
Speaking of Jerry Jones, this is just an addendum to this. Here's a quote. He kind of doubled down on what he said to the radio host. The facts are that if I'm going to be grilled by the tribunal, I don't need to be drilled by my guys that I'm paying. I could take it from the fans and take it from other people. I take a lot of pride in how fair and how much I try to work with the media. We're brothers and sisters. But, you know, basically saying I'm not taking it from the guys on the radio because I'm paying them. You got to be nice to me. In case you were wondering, that was his follow-up from the meltdown that he had. Thought it was interesting.
Go ahead, David.
That's absolutely a joke. I get he has a radio show and a radio appearance every week, but you go on there to answer questions. Answer the questions. You want to be the GM, you want to own the team, you want to do this with your team every year, then answer the questions.
I'm with David. Come on. I mean, if you want bought and paid for media, then do the interview with DallasCowboys.com. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we talking about? But all of sports right now is in this weird bally world where it's like, no, if you win, we're nice. And if you lose, we're not. And otherwise, just shut up. Who cares? Jerry, go on your bond yacht.
Well, because it was weird because when I saw that, I asked David, I'm like, wait, does he own that radio station? We found out he does not own it because he's saying, well, I pay Ryan. These guys. I guess he pays for the segment. So he feels like you need to be nice to me because I'm giving you.
Oh, good. Maybe the host will draw him a warm bath next week. Like, what does this guy expect? Hey, do you want something even crazier than Jerry Jones?
Yeah.
Just read this. Insane? Like, is this delusional or realistic? Saquon Barkley believes he will not be booed at MetLife this week because, quote, fans don't care that I'm on the Eagles anymore. Close quote.
That's not what we've seen all offseason. They've been going at him on social media. They care.
Dude. He can't believe that, right? Not saying he should care.
No, but if you surround yourself with enough people who say, nah, man, they love you there. Really? New York still loves you? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would expect to be booed.
He's going
to
look like a fool is what he's going to look like.
Wow. I know. I thought you'd enjoy that. Go ahead.
That's continue. Not a real article, man. That,
100%. That's
okay.
That's real.
Okay. That's wow. Okay. Should the NFL have flexed the Lions-Vikings or the Chiefs-49ers game to Sunday night instead of the Jets and the Steelers?
Yes and yes. I'll never understand some of the games that end up on primetime. Yes.
Yeah.
Both of those games are must-see TV.
Yes, they should have. From my understanding, Fox protected that Super Bowl rematch. So that's why it couldn't be.
Jets but and yes. Steelers is the living embodiment of...
Right.
Everyone's going to enjoy that on Sunday night.
I mean, I guess Jets, New York market, hey, you know, shout out Rutgers in the Big Ten. But I'm just like, wait, so you get the Jets. You could have had either one of these games.
That's bad.
And you can flex them to Sunday night. It's in within the window. You get to flex it twice. This was one that, yeah, I need one of them. All right, let's end it on this.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple. Who's the next coach to get fired?
I mean, I still...
Because coming back from London is normally not a good thing for coaches on the hot seat.
I would say Peterson if they lose this Sunday. And I can't escape the McCarthy thing. I don't care what Jerry's saying. Guy was 2 hours late for his press engagement. Team looks like they quit. You know, if the Cowboys roll out and do it again. But Peterson's probably... My best guess for you. They may leave his ass in London if they lose.
Losing in London is not a good thing for coaches. Because when you come back, I guess you're allowed to make the flight. But I got to think it's an eerie flight where nobody's really talking. Because everybody knows, like, is that a guy in a black hood and a sickle in the back? Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to go off the board with Antonio Pierce.
Oh.
That's a good one.
But I thought they like him in Oakland.
Oh. everybody likes him, but he made comments and it was going to go one of two ways, and it's going the wrong way. Like when you challenge that locker room and the locker room responds with quit, and then you trade Devontae Adams, it's not bad. David, and again, they're going to draft a rookie QB. They're going to tear it all apart.
And they got new ownership. Tom Brady.
Please.
That's a quick one. Hey, think Brady should keep his job announcing, now that he's part owner.
No, he should be fired immediately. Tom Brady, right now, because he's an owner, he cannot criticize other teams or officials. He cannot attend practice. He cannot attend the media meetings leading up to a game where you sit with these teams and talk and prepare for your job. Free Greg Olsen.
Agreed.
It's a free country, Tom. Yes. You can own a team, but you can't broadcast. You don't get to have it all the time. That's for me. That's where I stand. And also, by the way, he stinks. Brady's not good, Rico.
I'm willing to give him a year, but I understand. I'm going to put it in the category, he's learning.
Oh, so he gets to get paid $351 million learn on the job.
You win.
Have you ever considered a career? Be curious. Make $350 million to learn. Hi, I'm Rico Beard for Specs.
Right here in the city of Southfield.
Right. I mean, just show me that program where the student gets paid to learn. Doesn't happen.
All right. 97.1.